It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Beaver Banner Podcast. I'm Nick Dashlin. I cover Oregon State football and basketball for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. I was in the press box covering Saturday's win over Boise State, and I've got a few thoughts on what I saw. Joining me on the podcast is former Oregon State cornerback Kyle White. Welcome back, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing?
Where did you watch the game on Saturday?
We were at a sports bar in Washington watching the game.
I guess just to start off with, what were some of your 30,000 foot thoughts on what you saw?
I love the energy of Oregon State and how they came out. Defense looked fantastic mostly the whole game. Offensively, we looked great in a lot of areas. Yeah, there's stuff you always got to clean up, especially first game around. But overall, it was a fantastic show for a first game out and a lot for Oregon State fans to look forward to.
Yeah, I was sitting at about the press box this year is kind of something unique because of the west side construction. I was on about the 10-yard line down by the new scoreboard, and so it's a great view when you're down on that end, when they're down on that end of the field. But when they're on the other end, boy, it's a challenge. But thank God they have that new scoreboard that's got a giant screen and you can see pretty much everything. So that works pretty well. So it'll work good for this year. So I thought we'd start out maybe not necessarily with the game so much as I was kind of curious. So, I always get to the game maybe 2 hours, maybe 90 minutes ahead of time, and I got things I do there at the stadium. But let's say you got a 7:30 kickoff. As a player, what time would you get to the stadium on the bus?
7:30 p.m. game. We're probably getting to the field, I want to say more around 3 to 4.
Really? I didn't know they got through that, because Oregon State buses seem like they roll up about, I don't know, at least about a couple hours before the game, maybe something like that.
2 or 3 hours, 4 hours maybe before. I don't even remember truly, but it's we stay there it's a decent time way before the game. Like, you have the walkout, the Beaver walkout. That's right. When we really get there. So I don't know what time that's necessarily around from what I remember. I think it's like 3 hours. Yeah. And then, we hit the locker room, getting taped up immediately, being with the team.
Did you have a routine at all, like music or anything that you would do, in addition just to the regular, stuff you do, like getting taped and all that?
Yeah, definitely. And I was talking to one of my friends that played at like Washington or University of Western Oregon yesterday about it. I asked him if he had a routine. He said he sat in a corner. My thing was I either like sit in my locker or I'd go to like a certain area that I was really comfortable with all the time. And I'd have like similar, basically like the same kind of hype music or like the same like flow. I like to always close my eyes and like visualize what I want to do during the game. And so I'd do that frequently before every game just to make sure that, I envision what I want to happen, how I see things going, certain play calls, seeing certain formations, and just, going about, how would I play those scenarios out.
What was the strangest thing you'd see in the locker room before a game? Anybody have anything that was really off the wall for just a routine?
Yeah, actually, there was a time when there was one guy that was like, yeah, you got to get your first hit in. And so sometimes it'd be like a random slap or throwing somebody's helmet, like somebody put on their helmet and you just have to hit them like in the head. And I'm like, yeah, that's not me. I don't like the extra contact before. I'm not trying to get a concussion early, but yeah, I've seen that before.
So when you get out of the, when you get out of the locker room, then you go on the field for the first time, anything in particular, you have any routine? Did you have a ritual or anything like that? Or other than, you know, the standard warm up or.
One thing I always love to do, and I took it from Cam Newton from when I remember watching him, was like going to the opposite side field goal post or that field goal post closest to you and sort of just praying beforehand. Just like, yeah, thank you for the day. Thank you for this. And like, I'm excited to be here and the opportunity just to get me like that comfort and that, you know, like that understanding, like I'm whole. And then this is going to be a great moment and a great time for my team and myself.
Yeah. During warmups, did you ever know, boy, things feel good, or ever feel like, you know, this warmup's not good. This is not going to be good tonight or anything like that. Or is warmup just a warmup?
A warm-up is really a warm-up. You never want to have the mindset, yeah, this isn't going to go well, or I'm not feeling too hot, because, you know, that's definitely not something you want during game day. Yeah, you have those moments where you're like, oh, that step wasn't the greatest, and then you have it again and again. You're like, all right, your next thought should really be, I got it all out. Now I'll be straight. So
yeah,
never want to have that negative mindset of, oh, yeah, this isn't going well. But, you know, some players do sometimes, but at the same time, that's not the vibes, at least I saw on Saturday. So that's what I did love.
Who was your favorite coach when it came to warmups? Was there a guy that really got out there and got you fired up or said stuff to you that made you, I don't know, get you more ready for a game? Or
it necessarily wasn't a coach. It was a player. Favorite player to be around when you need to get hype is Jalen Moore. Definitely the most hype guy there, and still is till this day. Love that he's a coach and love that he's part of Oregon State still, but he's definitely one to get you pumped, and if you need to get ready for a game, he's gonna make sure he gets you ready.
Yeah, every week last year before games, he'd come by me and give me a prediction on the game, and surprisingly always picked the Beavers. I found that hard to believe, but he did. No, yeah, he's a good dude. He's in the right role being in recruiting. So
I agree.
So now let's kind of go to the game here. I guess we should start with the defense, because I obviously that was probably the highlight of the game outside of the win. Probably as good as I've seen since maybe 2012. I mean, it was, that first half was amazing, if I thought, for the most part. I kind of thought that, you know, once Bachmeier went out of the game, things changed, only because I don't think Oregon State had had a real game plan for the backup. He was a totally different guy. I think if they had the game plan for him, I don't know that it would have been a whole lot different. They would have tried to contain him a little bit better on the edges and made him throw, because he was pretty ordinary as a thrower, but he got out there and ran. But when the starter was in there, it was lights out. It seemed like almost every drive. What did you see?
No, I agree. I saw similar things to you. And I think last week we sort of hit the nail on the head about our defense. I mean, our secondary is very well, and they seem very in tune with each other, which was great. I think, like we were talking about last week, our D-line, the pressure that they put on the quarterback more times than not led to chaos that helped our defense look very strong. And I'm excited to see like that keep going and stay consistent. And I think with how they played overall on Saturday, more times than not look better. Oregon State always has this thing where they sort of just die like partway through the game, like right at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, it seemed like they sort of just shut down temporarily. And I was really like, please don't go back to old time Oregon State. But they sparked it back up again, which was really nice. But I think the defense, they did what they came to do and show that it's a new era finally. And I really loved that.
Yeah, I always think the underrated thing about a secondary is it doesn't really matter how good you are. If you don't have a defensive line put pressure on, you're just not going to be successful, because you can't cover guys, you know, longer than a few seconds. So if you don't put pressure on the quarterback – and make him throw when he doesn't want to. It's hard on the secondary. But so you thought that the line really got after it and really helped out the whole process.
Yes, but to your point, I think you can always have a good secondary, because let's say potentially you have a quarterback, like a good quarterback on the opposite side, and like you don't have the best D line. When you look as a quarterback, you're looking for your reads, and your reads only come within a couple of seconds. So when it's not open, you scramble. So like with that view, it's like, all right, they have to scramble regardless. But when you have a good D line, it also sort of messes up that timing already, which the secondary did their part, which made it even harder. So it's like either interception, PBU, or tackle for loss, the fumbles. It was just one after another. Everybody, I think, overall came in tune, which was really nice. So, I mean, yeah, the D-line did their part. The blitzes were really nice. I mean, I liked that more times than not. It was like four coverage, and then you have every once in a while you had a couple blitzes, a couple like different fronts, different looks. But overall, like the defense looks solid.
Yeah. The three interceptions, what did you see on each one of those? Start maybe with Rajon Wright's pick early in the game.
Yeah. So I was looking at it, and I believe it was a cover two. It was a man two. So like the safety had help over top, or was supposed to have help over top.
Yeah.
He undercut it, which was really nice. I love the height on the catch. It showed the athleticism. It shows how great coverage-wise he really is. Like, he read it, and on top of that, he didn't have to go for, you know, like, he played it as if he was the receiver. It wasn't even as if he was a corner anymore. So watching that first one, how well I think he does in man, I think you're going to see that with him throughout. I just hope he doesn't get too handsy, because basically, like, you look back at his sort of, like, from Last Chance U and like last year, he gets really handsy every once in a while. So that's where flags start coming in with holding. But I mean, the way he played it was overall nice, even though he's supposed to be over top. Yeah. But with how high he got, I think he played it very well. Jaden was there for a little help. But I mean, yeah, it was a great play.
Yeah, in practice or during camp, they, you know, they'd have the defensive backs playing with tennis balls in their hands so they wouldn't use their hands. Is that something you guys typically do to sort of keep the hands off the receivers and all that? Or
I think that's a new thing Coach Blue did. I mean, I've seen other teams do it. It wasn't one thing Coach Hall ever did. I think in that aspect, we weren't as handsy as we should sometimes than not. But I think with how physical these corners that Oregon State have now, it really actually you want to take a little off of them. So it's like having a great, like a dog on the field.
Yeah.
And rather than telling it keep fighting harder, you actually have to slow it down a little, because I mean, that's the kind of dog you want on Oregon State. Those corners are so physical to the point where you could see the hits that they were given to running backs, to receivers, and they just get up and be all in their face. And I loved it. And that's something that I don't think we had as much. Whereas this team, you have to calm them down a little, because too much excitement can lead to flags. And, you know, I think we saw a decent amount of flags in the game, but I'm okay with all of those for the first game, because it shows the enthusiasm, the love, the passion, the hype behind this team and how much they're ready for this season.
Yeah. Then, you know, Jaden had the interception also in the first quarter, and if I remember right, I think he just read the quarterback, and there really wasn't a receiver in the area. He was where the ball was going to go. And I don't know, what did you see there?
So it was same coverage. It was a man. I like Jaden in the safety position more so the nickel position because of how smart he is. There was a receiver underneath, and like I was saying, the D line does their job. You sort of force the quarterback to throw earlier on top of misreading it fully. So he overthrew it. Jaden was reading field. He read his eyes, read his keys right, and happened to be in the area, went right to the ball, and it was an easy interception for him. And I mean, that's what you want to see, is just the D line worked their part and corners and safeties just being in the right spots at the right time to get their plays.
Yeah. John, I asked Jonathan today about which interception he liked the best, and he thought Alex Austin's was maybe the best one because of all the things he had to do to get in a position to make that play. What do you remember from that one?
I'm trying to remember because I saw the third one. I think I was actually taking a bite of food. I tried to go back over it.
If you can't remember. Yeah, Jonathan just said he sprinted back. He sprinted back, kept his eyes on the quarterback, and got in a position to where it was a. I can't remember. It was a pretty deep ball, I think. But it's not a big deal if you can't remember that one. The defensive front? It seemed like those guys in the outside linebackers really dominated Boise State's offensive line for most of the game. Is that kind of what you saw? Or?
Yeah, it's exactly what I saw. They were in the backfield more times than not. I love the nickel and corner blitzes that they had that they threw in. But overall, like, the D-line did their part, where it was almost like as many blitzes weren't needed, which was nice. The linebackers were there. Everybody read their keys. They got in. They swarmed the quarterback. Yeah, there was a couple times where he'd actually get to the outside. And, you know, that's one thing that's always going to be worked on, is just making sure that you have outside contain. Just because the one run that quarterback had, literally getting to the outside, having like a 40, 50-yard run for a touchdown, you don't want to see it. But at the same time, like, one slip up is better than what? How many did we have last year, 4 years ago, where it's just like, golly, like, how many times are they going to, you got to keep watching this.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, it was good. And I think there's a lot of growth and a lot that you see after the first game that's going to hopefully just keep carrying over.
Yeah. What was your favorite defensive play of the night?
I actually truly loved that pick. I mean, the pick was beautiful, and I think he played it right on top of
the Rajon Wright pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rajon Wright's pick was, how high he got was phenomenal. Like, I was like, yeah, that's a corner for you. And it's not even just a corner. That's an athlete making a great play and making sure he's like on ESPN or something.
Yeah, no, it was a great catch. That's not a play they would have made a couple of years ago, I don't think. But going over the offensive side, I guess to start with would be Chance Nolan. You know, he worked a lot on his deep throws during the offseason because that was kind of a problem last year. And boy, it looked like it was time well spent because the air was under the ball. He was leading his receivers. I mean, he had four or five throws that were pretty much on the money. I only remember maybe one throw deep that wasn't great. And obviously the interception he threw to the sideline was terrible. But what was your assessment of how Chance played?
I mean, Chance played great in my eyes. He seemed very calm in the pocket. He scrambled when needed. The deep ball that he did miss, I'm happy with it because he overthrew him. Where it's like, yeah, you know, he talked about putting more air, getting the ball deeper than last year, and he has all of it now. And the two deep balls that he threw for touchdowns were beautiful.
Yeah.
I love the play actions that they're giving now, and I think we're so used to Oregon State being able to run the ball. So all these play actions to like deep balls, they're key. They're spot on. They're perfect. And I think he has a great ball now and great attributes around him where it all works out. But like as a leader for a quarterback, it's exactly what I'd want to see in my quarterback, because the way he spread it around, like literally he spread the ball around to every player, which was awesome. Yeah. And then how calm he was in the pocket, even when it was like pressure, he got out, he just made passes. And like when it was third and six or third and eight, even though you want to go for that, like, you know, I got to get the first down. He got yards. He made a completion. He didn't get the first down, but it's like, hey, that's fine. I like to see that you're getting the ball to the receivers for them to make a chance at making a play.
Yeah.
So
Musgrave, it's only one game, but he's going to be a problem for opponents, isn't he? I mean, 6'6" guy with his size and speed, and you kind of wondered when they were going to unleash him. Well, they took care of that Saturday night. They got him. I mean, I had a suspicion they were going to go to him on the first or second play of the game, and they didn't wait. They went right to him, and they went to him a lot in the first quarter. And he's hard to guard, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. The dude is huge. He's fast. And I mean, he moves well. I loved watching him. That deep ball that he caught was amazing. And I mean, yeah, when you have somebody that athletic, that big, that it's going to always be hard to guard, go to him. Like, literally give him the ball and let him make plays, because it's going to be hard to stop.
I was going to say, what's a defense do, you know, with a guy like that?
Well, it's like hard because you can't put a linebacker on him because he'll outspeed. He's faster than a linebacker, but you can't put a safety on him because he's bigger than a safety. So really you have to put two on one just to be able to cover him. It allows more opportunities for the outside guys to make their plays. And it's really one of the only ways, unless you want to just keep going zone. But in that mind space for me, it's like you go zone, he's going to sit in spots.
Yeah.
It's going to be first down, and then you can run the ball.
Right. Right. The running game kind of looked like a work in progress. I mean, it was promising, but they obviously aren't where they want to be yet. And I think some of that's to be understood. They don't really know who, you know, they really want to go to yet. And they ran, you know, several guys out there. And I honestly think they want Martinez to eventually win that job, but you know, he's still young and he needs some touches and whatnot. But what did you see from the running game other than Jack Coletto, you know, taking over on that one play?
Yeah, that guy is amazing. I mean, but with the running game, I sort of agree. It's a working thing. Oregon State's always so known for running ball. So like when we talked last week, it was like, yeah, our run game is going to be like our key factor. But what I love is that the spread game, the passing the ball around was the key factor. And the run was, you know, like we had to get this here and there. And I think that it is a work in progress, but we have the players and playmakers in those areas to really hit that home. It's just going to take time, in which I think this next 2 weeks are those times where we can really, you know, figure it out, work on it, and work well at it. And yeah, Martinez is a great running back. I loved writing the article on him and watching his high school film. I think he has a lot of upside and a lot of potential. And then, I mean, you have Fenwick. I think he's going to be a great runner as well. You got those two. It's like, and then Lowe, you have so many great backs in the backfield where it's like, who do you put in at what situation? And that's going to be, I think, their biggest thing is who should touch this at this time.
Yeah.
You know, because Lowe catch the ball, but he can also run the ball. Fenwick is a great bigger back where it's like, yeah, short yardage. But that's why you also have Coletto. So it's like, you know, like there's so many different, they're so versatile.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like with repetition is going to be the factor and the key factor of like how well they can get that run game to get going.
Yeah. My favorite question from fans is, you know, what's Oregon State doing to, you know, recruit the next Coletto? And I'm going, he ain't out there. He's a unicorn. Those guys don't exist. I mean, I guess there's a few of them, but shoot, I mean, to get a guy like that could play both sides of the ball and do what he does. I guess you could have been one, couldn't you? You played running back and cornerback. They didn't want to let you try that at all, or
I didn't want to. Oh. I mean, truly honest, yeah, he's a unicorn. Like I've only seen two dudes do what he does. It's Coletto and Hill from the Saints. Those kinds of people are different.
Yeah,
they're built different. I mean, you have to know an offensive playbook on top of a defensive playbook. And I mean, at any given time, he could come back and just play quarterback.
Yeah.
And so that's like the craziest part is that he is so in tune with knowing both sides and his body is so, you know, like, I don't even know how to phrase it, but it's so nice to see that he's so healthy all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like for a person that plays linebacker to fullback or running back to quarterback, on fourth and ones. So, you know, you're taking a bruising every hit. You're taking a beating every hit and he's not taking them. He's giving them.
Yeah.
And then is able to go right back to defense and do it again and go right back to offense and do it again. You don't find those more often than not. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be extremely difficult. And I think we're like one of very, very, if not only schools in the country that have somebody like him.
Right. So, obviously, the game wasn't perfect. I mean, Oregon State won pretty comfortably. I mean, it was still a game with 10 minutes to go, but I never really thought they were in too big a danger. But there was problems. The penalties were a big issue, and the careless handling of the ball was an issue. Especially the penalties, I think they can get fixed, but the turnovers, that's something that Smith and Lindgren have really been big on over their tenure, is they don't turn the ball over. They make other teams go the length of the field and beat you that way. And I mean, these things should be able to get fixed, shouldn't they, in the next week or, you know, several games, don't you think?
I think the turnovers is my, I mean, the penalties are a big concern, but at the same time, that is something that can easily be fixed. The turnovers per se, like Nolan threw one interception. He threw a second one, but in my opinion, it wasn't actually on him.
Yeah.
I think he threw a great ball. I mean, when a receiver juggles it and, you know, a corner's going to come up with it. So it's like, yeah, that's just on the receiver, just going like, all right, that lost one for today. But that's something you can make up. And at the same time, like, you're lucky you have a great defense at the
right
time, right? You're lucky the score's up. But I mean, him just the turnovers, the fumbles, they just got to figure out how to like carry the ball better. Like I was sitting there watching the running back. And I mean, when you have the ball all the way to the, like your left shoulder, it's like, man, tuck it. You're in traffic. That you should know that.
Yeah.
You should know in traffic. Hold it with two hands. If you got to go down early, you go down early. But the last thing you want to ever do is, and I'm happy that it was overturned because his knee was down, but it's also like that could have gone one of two, that could have gone two ways either way,
right.
You know? So it's like, you want to make sure that the ball is always wrapped up. And, you know, I think Nolan overall is playing very smart. So yeah, he threw one bad, but at the same time, like he threw pretty well. All right. You know? But the penalties, that's one thing that the team needs to assess. And, you know, I think it's just first game jitters. I'm really hoping it doesn't go into the second game. But you know, just with everybody fresh back, first game of season, I get, you know, like the emotions that are behind it and, you know, like the nerves behind the game. But yeah, that's definitely one thing that they need to work on. And I think it'll be taken care of in the next 1 to 2 games.
Well, now it's on to Fresno State. What was the most hostile stadium you ever played in?
The most hostile stadium that I ever got to play in, I want to say it was really Washington or it was Minnesota. I mean, those two teams, it's the crowds that really get you. And when they know you by name, by number, stat-wise, they know, like, when you sit there and you know you're a true avid fan, when you're looking up the other team's players' history, family, friends, where do they go? What's their favorite? Like when they start knowing all that and they're like screaming it at you, it's like, all right, this is like a whole different level of like over fan kill. So it's like, all right. But I mean, Minnesota used to do that and Washington's just loud and obnoxious. And I mean, yeah, those two places just aren't the funnest, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a game where you've got, you know, a full house. They had all day to get, you know, themselves nice and lubricated. You know, the team's good and it's going to be 100 degrees. I mean, that's a triple crown of hard to deal with, I would think, for an opposing team. But it's what Oregon State's got to do on Saturday. They have to deal with all of it. And I think they got a shot, but there's a lot to handle on Saturday night, seems to me.
I watched the Fresno State game. I know that, you know, it's always first game. Just like us, we had our first game jitters. Fresno had their first game jitters. But in my opinion, we have a great shot at winning. They didn't look too great. They didn't look bad at all. But they didn't look anything that's not beatable. And that's what I'm happy with. They came out, they seemed comfortable. They got their cues, you know, like their X's and O's down, but nothing was catching the eye. Whereas when I watched Oregon State on Saturday, it seemed like they were in it and it seemed like they were overhyped and they were ready to make a stand and make a name for themselves. And so I think they go into, you know, Fresno State coming out strong. I get, yeah, we're going to Fresno. We're going to them. But at the same time, that 100-degree heat, we're used to that now. These Oregon summers have been something serious the past 2 years. They've played in it. They've practiced in it. They'll be ready. They'll be conditioned on top of they want to win.
Right.
We won every game last year home, but lost away. So this game is going to be the stand where are we going to start winning away? Can we win away? Can we win the places we go and show that we are a new Oregon State? And that's what I'm excited to see.
Is the Heat, how big of a deal is playing in the Heat?
Oh, it's serious. Yeah. The heat is a lot, but at the same time, like, you know, like you have cool towels to make sure that you're cool on the sidelines. You got a lot of water, but I mean, on the field, you feel that heat, like you feel it in the turf, and it depends on if it's grass or if it's turf. If it's high grass or if it's just low grass, like literally every field's, that's why always having a home field advantage is something that's so important, just because of one team is used to playing in that climate, on that stage, in that field, on that turf or grass. And so, you know, when you go into a new place that you don't play at as often, you're not used to it. For example, Stanford has high grass. Colorado has high grass. So when you want to run, you feel slower because of how high the grass is. That's, you have to have higher knees. But then when you go to like Oregon State, it's turf. So you could just run, but you're going to slide. So it's good that you have like grips on your cleats. So it's like each place is different. Fresno is going to be one that's different. And, you know, I wish I got to play there, but I think this is going to be a great game. And I think they have all the positivity going into it.
Seems like the biggest matchup of the night's got to be Oregon State's secondary against their quarterback, Jake Haener. And I don't know. I'm just thinking, and this is just what I think. I think the key is kind of going to be Oregon State slowing down Fresno State's running game to the where they don't, and not having to commit extra resources to it. So they're able to, you know, defend the passing game. How do you see it?
I mean, in my opinion, I think it is going to be more of a quarterback corner position like battle, but I mean, it also includes the receivers, because without the receivers, it's still pointless. I think the run game, for the most part, our D-line and linebackers are going to hold that tight. So it's going to come down to the pass game, the foul, like basically the flags, and just not having pointless flags, you know, pointless penalties. And I think with their quarterback, yeah, he's good. He started the last, like, what, 2 years? But with that, I think our secondary, with Jaden being the leader of the secondary, he has so much more knowledge, and on top of helping out everybody and like being the leader in that room, to watch and analyze enough film to understand like, all right, this is what we have to really focus on. These are the keys. This is what you're going to be looking for. And we just need to talk.
Yeah.
So it's like with those things, I think our secondary can overcome their quarterback. I'm not going to give them that much hype. I don't think their quarterback is phenomenal. I think he's good. I don't think he's a Marcus. I think he's decent. But I think we are able to shut him down. And stopping the run game is something that I expect our defense to do. I mean, I know it's Boise State, but that's a run team. That's a heavy run team. And, you know, we stopped that. Fresno's Fresno. But I think with the keys that we have on the D-line, the outside linebackers, and our middle linebacker, if we're able to contain and make sure that we're not having anybody just, you know, bounce out and have long runs, it's going to be a great game. I think we should do – I still think it's going to be like a 10-point game like we said last week, but I think we can overcome that and win this one.
Yeah, I was going to ask for a prediction. You're thinking Oregon State's about a 10-point winner?
I think it's going to be like 34-24. I'm so happy that our predictions were so wrong last week that they way overdid that. You know, like, I love that the score was 24-0 at half. Really, we got to a point where it should almost been a blowout, but I'm happy with the game and how it ended. I think this week it'll be 34-24 Oregon State.
Yeah, I picked a 27-17 last week, and I mean, I even told somebody from Oregon State, it would not surprise me if Oregon State boat raced Boise State. I just had a feeling they were better than Boise, but I think it kind of played out that way. I never felt like Boise State was really in the game, but this game, I'm going to go with Fresno State 31-28, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if Oregon State wins. I just think it's going to be a hard game to win. There's two games I think are especially going to be hard to win this year, Fresno and Utah, because of the, you know, everything that the team, the opponent they're playing, the stadium, just everything out there. I think they can win all these games, but I just think this one's going to be difficult. But Oregon State's played pretty well in the second game of the year under Smith. They've really got things kind of figured out in that second game. They haven't won them all, but they've been in every game. They just lost up at Washington a few years back, and they lost the game in Hawaii in the last minute of the game. So they won the other two. So yeah, we'll see what happens on Saturday. I put a question out on Twitter before we started taping this. I asked people if they had any questions for you, and I didn't really give them much time to do it, but I got a couple questions here. One of them says, multiple defensive players have stated before that Bray's scheme is more simplified than in the past and puts players in position to be more successful and excel. And he asked, was this truly the only change they made from last year's defense, just simplification of the scheme?
My opinion is probably yes. With the simplest, I mean, they're able to make way more plays because they're not having to think as much. I mean, in my defense, just to give you guys like a rough sort of idea of how it was, we'd get a call, whether it was a cover six. Cover six is probably the best one I can give you guys, just because cover six is a cover four on the front end, on the front field side, to cover two on the back side. With that, though, it comes so much in depth. If you have a cover six and you're the man on the backside, if it's a 3-by-1, like three receivers to the field, one receiver to the boundary, it then changes to almost a lock man on the front side receiver on the field side to a lock man on the backside receiver on the boundary. So you went from a cover six where you're playing zone on both sides to almost two man and then zoning the two and three. And then you have to start thinking, are you going to switch on the two and three? On the boundary side, are you going to play lock man, or are you going to play like a game with the safety on how you're going to take them? So like when you start simplifying all that and, you know, like not making it so elaborate where all these athletes are having to think and letting athletes play, it gives them the ability to just sit there and, you know, like read keys and make plays. And so when you can do that, you have all these great plays where it's like, hey, they're just running two man. Two man's easy. I got this dude. I let him inside. My safety has my help. All right. I don't have help from the safety. I let him go outside. I got him locked in, man. And it's that.
Simple. Yeah. It's kind of what I wouldn't have said it like that, because I'm not as technical, obviously, as you are with this stuff. But yeah, I definitely think it's a lot simpler for these guys, because you just play faster when you know where you're going. It seems to me, but
yeah.
Another one said, what position or position group do you think has overachieved the most? And what do you think has overachieved the most? And I guess that's the main question on that one. There's some other stuff, but that was the main question. Is there a group that's kind of surprised you a little bit, or, you know, with their play through the first week?
Yeah, I mean, truthfully honest, I was expecting Oregon State to be a run-heavy offense. And to see our receivers be so athletic, make plays, and get yak yards, in which I call, or which is called, like, yards after contact. Yeah. It's so nice to see that it's like, all right, we're not just basing our offense off of the run now. Like, we're really opening everything up. And, like, I think the receivers finally, like, you know, showed their light, showed, like, hey, this is Oregon State. We're not just a run team. I think we can be a heavy throw team, and we can do it all. So I think the people I'd give the most props to are the receivers this week and the corners, which that was expected. So for them to come out as receivers and really just do their thing, props to them, proud of them, and I'm happy to see what happens for the rest of the year.
Let's see. Then one other question here. It says, this one's not really for you. I guess it's for me. It says, if we go 3-0, will the journalists dye their hair orange? That'd be a hard no. Fans think that I'm rooting for their team. I mean, I, I, I mean, I'm rooting for the story. The story, it's a good story if they win. So I'm not coloring my hair just for, you know, for a team that I'm covering. But you know, I'm happy to see they're winning and all that. But I'm not going to get into that much. But if fans want to dye their hair, that'd be great. Well, I'll be at Fresno State this week. I'll be there, and our columnist Bill Oram will be there. You'll be watching, or how are you going to take it in?
Yeah, I'm not missing a game this year. I'll be at home, have it on my TV, and I mean, I'll probably even record it because, I mean, they're doing great, and just so I could re-go over it again and rewatch the game.
That's a wrap on this week's edition of Beaver Banter. Remember, you can find this podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Be sure to check out Oregon Live for all our Oregon State content. We'll be back next week to talk about what happened at Fresno and look ahead to the September 17 game against Montana State in Portland. We'll see you next week, Kyle.
Sounds great.